So, as I mentioned before, we are continuing a series dealing with the book of 1 John. 1 John is located towards the end of the New Testament. It's easy to overlook, particularly there's actually three Johns, letters of John, and the other two are teeny tiny little, you know, very, very short books. But the first one is what we've been spending time with, and we will finish our summer with, is pretty storied. There's a lot here, and I'm very happy that we have a chance to kind of spend some time with this. Now, to work our way through what I need to tell you, I need to give you a glossary. Okay, I'm going to define my terms up front so that you're able to kind of like track with me, because it's really easy to get lost. The spiritual life, as it were, oftentimes uses words like spirit and a word soul, right? And so for a long time, these words, and in my use, have been interchangeable. Right? There's a soul, there's a spirit, what's the difference? No one knows. There's, you know, what's the deal? And actually, people have reflected on this a long time. You can get into some very sophisticated technical arguments about what spirit and soul is, and if you want to do that, I'll meet you somewhere in the building, and we'll spend 2 or 3 days together. Okay. I doubt that I have too many takers on that, but you never know. So call me. But for our purposes, and really as a fundamental handy way to kind of think of it, let me invite you to think of those two things as distinct. And that when we talk about soul, we're talking about the entirety of this. All right, so you have a physical body. I don't know if you've checked that out or not lately, but you actually do, right? It's rented equipment, by the way. You don't keep this, right? When you're over with, you have to turn it back in, right? Hopefully, you'll get your deposit. But this is temporary, all right? But it is part of you, right? And it's made up of all kinds of things. There's hormones and sugars and just this amazing biochemistry that we have, the microbiome, the way in which chemistry causes memories to come back to us. So all of our life is mediated through our body, but also through our experiences, our life experiences, the things that we learned in school, the things that, you know, have been traumatic for us even, and things that have been wonderful that have shaped us and helped us to grow. There is a psychological component. That's part of it, and that's part of the soul as well. There is this spiritual component, this kind of connection with God. We are made in the very image of God, right? The image of God is pressed inside of us, all right? And so the soul is the entirety of that, okay? So when I can look at you, I can see a beautiful soul, the combination of all of those things, not just kind of reductionistically. There are some kneecaps right there. And elbows, kneecaps and elbows. There's more than kneecaps and elbows with my beautiful friend's soul. Okay? You with me? Now, then there's spirit. Now, spirits are those things that are kind of like, you know, out afoot in the world. And these sometimes are things that come up within us. These are some things that are given to us or kind of hover over us. We have the scriptures that say the Spirit of God hovered over all of creation before it was even kind of formed together. So there is a Holy Spirit. There is a very essence of God that is moving through our world and trying to work with us and comfort us and guide us and say, Judy, don't say that. Or maybe you should say this. You with me? And there's also other spirits. There's the Bible talks about a spirit of fear. Y'all ever heard of that one? Right? That spirit of fear is like, hey, this is going to be bad. You're going to hurt, and nobody's going to like you, or nobody's going to recover from this. Or there's the spirit of courage. I don't care. I know this might hurt, but I'm still going to move forward. I'm still going to put myself out there. All right? So spirits are those things that are out trying to look to influence and kind of have us move, have that soul move in a particular direction. Is this making sense? Okay? So I was thinking about it this way. I'm on Instagram. Some of y'all are as well, some different social medias, Facebook, you know. I don't know how many have MySpace pages anymore, you know, but there's this whole business of social media that we can kind of put ourselves in front of. Now, every time I'm on Instagram, there's always, I watch a lot of reels. And so in these short little videos, somebody's trying to sell me something, trying to tell me something, trying to convince me of something, trying to get me to kind of believe something about somebody or something, right? It's like, oh, if I only did this, I would have more hair. Apparently, the algorithms got me on the hair. Or, oh, if I would only, you know, think about things politically this way, then I would be right. Or things would be great. Or we, you know, something would be great. Right? Or if I were to, you see what I'm saying? That all those voices are kind of like spirits going, hey, do something with your soul. Leverage your soul in this way. So the soul is the person holding the phone, looking at all those things, scrolling through them. But all of those are different spirits. And they tell me all kinds of things. Like, you know, what do you eat for breakfast? All right? Do you eat oatmeal for breakfast? Oatmeal eaters in here? There are some people that will say oatmeal is the best, but you got to eat the right kind of oatmeal. It has to be steel cut. Are there steel cut oatmeal eaters in here? Oh, the fewer hands up, right? And there are other people that will say oatmeal is for horses. This is something that was used to kind of fatten up livestock, and then the Pennsylvania, the Quaker Oats people said, we can sell this to people too and make a fortune doing this and put apple cinnamon in it and it will taste lovely and they'll get fat and want it some more the next day. Okay? So there's all this kind of like back and forth about should you eat oatmeal, should you not eat oatmeal? So, I mean, how do you make a decision? Well, you have to kind of like figure it out, right? Does this make sense or not? I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer who can eat blueberries, who's not allergic to blueberries. Mayor, come on. Mayor's hand was up. Like, I'll volunteer. I'm there. Yay! And guess what? I have blueberries.
I love blueberries.
There you go. And for, there's no trick, by the way. I'm not going to make, no, the trick is you make the blueberries disappear. Okay, I think if you want to, that's totally fine. If you want to make one or two of them. But I'm going to remind some folks about the blueberries. And, you know, just kind of give me, as you're eating them. And by the way, there's nothing tricky about these blueberries. They're lovely. I washed them myself. So I want to remind people of some important things about these blueberries, okay? And some of them are, you know, well, just kind of give me a is it tasty?
It is.
It's very tasty. Mm-hmm. They're very sweet. All right, so just kind of like live into the eating of the blueberries. So can you do that?
I can.
Okay, beautiful. And you almost have blueberry hair. I mean, it's close to the... And so Mayor's just enjoying those blueberries, and that's probably a good thing because they're full of fiber. And potassium's good. Potassium kind of helps your heart and a lot of body function. Vitamins A, C, and K, they're a great option for snacking or topping your bowl of oatmeal. Or yogurt. Yogurt is good. We like yogurt. Now, they have been demonstrated to potentially lower blood pressure like that. They help people manage cholesterol and blood sugar like that. They have been linked in some studies to healthy aging and brain health. You could have 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit each day, a whole bunch of them, like a cup of blueberries, takes care of a big part of that recommendation. How are you feeling about this?
I feel fantastic.
These are really good, aren't they? Excuse me. But, and so, you know, here's the thing. I'm sitting there some days, and I'm looking at my scroll of my life, and there's information about all that I just read you, like blueberries are the bomb. This is what we want to eat. I love blueberries. And, you know, I heard some of those things earlier on in my recovery from a health condition, and I'm like, I'm going to eat more blueberries. And in our house, this is why we have this big bowl of blueberries. By the way, this is my big supply of blueberries, which are now yours. And just this week, I was reminded that, you know, if you're allergic to those things, they can kill you. Right? A person can have an anaphylactic kind of response to that. Are you feeling okay, by the way? Are you breathing? Okay, you're not allergic. And you're breathing okay. And you're not feeling dizzy. Okay. But for some of you, that might not be the case. Oh, and all the way, the most common side effect from eating blueberries is bloating and gas. And diarrhea. You feeling good about these now?
I think I'm going to stop now.
On certain medications, when you eat blueberries, it's a bad, bad idea. Also, the American Dental Association says, by the way, they really stain your teeth. Big smile there. No big smile there. The interaction between medication and blueberries can result in hypoglycemia. That's when your blood sugar drops to a dangerously low level. And they also have been suspected to be a diuretic. So if you need to go use the bathroom in a few minutes, for whatever reason, it's totally okay to do. So you've got this whole kind of like, do I eat this? Do I not? Are these good for me? Or are they not so good for me? What am I going to do? How do I make a decision about what's good? Now, you're not allergic, right? And you've enjoyed them. Now, if you ate all of them, it would probably not be so good.
Yes.
In many different ways. But if you're also eating them, it can also be beneficial to your body, right? You have to figure this out. You have to test what makes and come to a sense of what makes the most sense of what to do with these blueberries that you're going to take home and enjoy.
Thank you, Brent.
You're welcome. First John says, we got to figure things out. We have to test the spirits. So there are, like I said, all those kind of different voices, all those different, you know, kind of reels coming up saying, oh, this is the way it is. And then some would say, well, this is the way it is. And John, in the way that he considers the world, there are like two different categories. There's good and bad. There's right, there's wrong. There's this, there's that. And he says, you've got to make sure, we've got to make sure, as followers of Jesus, that we're making the right decisions, that we're as much in the white and as far away from the black that we possibly can be. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that, you know, black and white is not as simple as what it would seem, that there's an awful lot of gray in the midst of that. And in John's thinking, there's a whole different other color. There's black and white, but there's also this red of the love of God, right? So remember that. We talked about this, that there is more than just you're good or you're bad, you're right or you're wrong, you're Democrat, you're Republican, you're heterosexual, you're bisexual, you're this kind of person at work, and you're this kind of person at the lake. Or at least, that's what you're told you're supposed to be. John says we've got to be careful. We have to test the spirits. We have to kind of make sure, is that blueberry what I need to be eating? Is that oatmeal the right thing for me to do? Is that position about the validity of a human being really supposed to be what I'm about? Is that position about how to be faithful really supposed to be who I am and what I'm about? Okay? Now, John will say, the writer of 1 John will say, well, hey, here's a way to deal with that question where you have to test the spirit, where you have to make sure that you're understanding what is the right way and not a good way. So the way to do it is, does that option look like Jesus? So is it consistent with what we know about who Jesus is, how Jesus lived his life, how Jesus made sense of the scriptures? Because there were some things that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to turn this thing completely upside down. Hey, I'm going to enter into a relationship with you, even though you are a drunk or a tax collector or a prostitute or keep going. Okay? How does Jesus live his life? And if you're not really sure about that, the way to do that is to study, to follow Jesus, to look at the scriptures, to, you know, maybe kind of get with some other people who have been trying to follow Jesus and figure this out collectively, right? Does this option, does this spirit look and behave and comport itself like the one who says, you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you love your enemy, and you turn the other cheek, and you go the extra mile, and you do the things that I've taught you to do, and I command you to love each other. All right? Does it look like that? That's a really good criteria to use. Are we following Jesus by doing this? By excluding that person, by condemning that person, am I following Jesus? You know, Jesus has something to say about this as well. He will say, hey, look, reading to you from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets, because they come dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. Do you know them by their... You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds? Or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. Slightly different version of 1 John says, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. And speaking for preachers, it's awfully tempting to do just that. Does it look like Jesus? Does it bear good fruit? Now, I can't go any further with this without bringing up the really kind of thorny issue that is in front of us as a country right now, which is Christian nationalism. A definition of that is Christian nationalism identifies the nation with God's will and actions in the world and conflates national and Christian identity, conflates our identity as a nation with our religious identity, and conflates that it identifies service of the nation with the service of God. And it's a very dangerous place. Because God's going to ask us to do things that may at times not necessarily go right down the road with who we think we are as a country, or what we should be as a country, or what we needed to be but failed to be as a country. If you go to D.C. and go downtown to the around where the Department of Agriculture is, there is the Holocaust Museum. And it's worth a visit. It's hard, but it's worth a visit. Has some of y'all been to the Holocaust Museum? So maybe it's still there. When last time I was there, there was in a major section of the displays, a large area, kind of a sort of enclosed pit of an area that was full of shoes. Shoes. And these shoes were collected from the people that were marched into the gas chambers inside of the concentration camps. We have too many of these. We don't want to deal with all that. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And so, you know, they would have them strip, enter to the gas chamber, and then they would collect their things. So these shoes were collected leftovers of the lives of the owners that were there. Now, if you see that, it's a powerful, powerful exhibit. But let me tell you what was really hard for me when I was there, is that I saw that and I had to kind of deal with that. But then I looked up and I saw a series of pictures of German citizens and citizens of the Reich who were not necessarily German, but they were of that. And they were all together and they were living their lives as people in the oppressor group, including clergy. There were people dressed like me who stood on the street making the Nazi salute. Do you get that? These two images conflated together. I dress like this because it's a representation of who I am as a follower of Jesus and what I'm supposed to do in church. This is given to elders so that they will be reminded of the yoke of Christ, of being a servant of Christ. This white robe is given to people when they're baptized a long time ago. This was what was given to people who were baptized. They would baptize them naked. They would give them new clothes. But it was a way to remind them of who they were. So they're dressed in all the kind of regalia of following Jesus. People are saluting a system that is systematically destroying lives. Okay? Now, this is an extraordinarily extreme example of what can go wrong. We have to test the spirits. And we have to believe in the one who called us into peace and reconciliation and mercy and forgiveness and love. As for me, I'm going to eat lots of blueberries. May hold back on the oatmeal a little bit. As for me, I'm going to try my best to follow Jesus. And I invite you to do the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.